The top 10. The Ukrainians. An introduction. Short stories have always been a sort of instant access into an author's brain, their soul and heart. A few pages can lift our lives into locations, people and experiences with a sweep of landscape, narration, feelings and emotions that are difficult to achieve elsewhere. In this series, we try to offer up tried and trusted top tens across many different themes and authors. But any anthology will immediately throw up the questions, why that story? Why that author? The theme itself will form the boundaries for our stories, which range from well-known classics, newly told, to stories that modern times have overlooked, but perfectly exemplify the theme. Throughout the volume, our authors, whether of instant recognition or new to you, are all leviathans of literature. Some you may disagree with, but they will get you thinking about our choices and about those you would have made. If this volume takes you on a path to discover more of these miniature masterpieces, then we will have all gained something. Between the Russian Empire and Europe, warily sits Ukraine. Her own history has been brushstroke, either by periods of independence or under the oppressive yoke of other, more powerful and belligerent neighbours. Its authors, almost always cited as Russian or from Little Russia, are diverse and brilliant. Some of them stayed, some moved to other lands, but always their works harbour part of their Ukrainian souls, despite the ever-changing territorial borders.
The Informer by Joseph Conrad. Mr. X came to me, preceded by a letter of introduction from a good friend of mine in Paris, specifically to see my collection of Chinese bronzes and porcelain. My friend in Paris is a collector too. He collects neither porcelain nor bronzes, nor pictures, nor medals, nor stamps, nor anything that could be profitably dispersed under an auctioneer's hammer. He would reject with genuine surprise the name of a collector. Nevertheless, that's what he is by temperament. He collects acquaintances. It is delicate work. He brings to it the patience, the passion, the determination of a true collector of curiosities. His collection does not contain any royal personages. I don't think he considers them sufficiently rare and interesting. But with that exception, he has met with and talked to everyone worth knowing on any conceivable ground. He observes them, listens to them, penetrates them, measures them, and puts the memory away in the galleries of his mind. He has schemed, plotted, and travelled all over Europe in order to add to his collection of distinguished personal acquaintances. As he is wealthy, well-connected, and unprejudiced, his collection is pretty complete, including objects, or should I say subjects, whose value is unappreciated by the vulgar and often unknown to popular fame. Of those specimens, my friend is naturally the most proud. He wrote to me of X. He is the greatest rebel, révolté, of modern times. The world knows him as a revolutionary writer, whose savage irony has laid bare the rottenness of the most respectable institutions. He has scalped every venerated head and has mangled at the stake of his wit every received opinion and every recognised principle of conduct and policy. Who does not remember his flaming red revolutionary pamphlets? Their sudden swarmings used to overwhelm the powers of every continental police like a plague of crimson gadflies. But this extreme writer has been also the active inspirer of secret societies, the mysterious unknown number one of desperate conspiracies, suspected and unsuspected, matured or baffled. And the world at large has never had an inkling of that fact. This accounts for him going about amongst us to this day, a veteran of many subterranean campaigns, standing aside now, safe within his reputation of merely the greatest destructive publicist that ever lived. Thus wrote my friend, adding that Mr. X was an enlightened connoisseur of bronzes and china, and asking me to show him my collection. X turned up in due course. My treasures are disposed in three large rooms without carpets and curtains. There is no other furniture than the étages and the glass cases whose contents shall be worth a fortune to my...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?